Has anyone ever taken a balloon ride? A few people? Okay, very few. I did it a few years ago, and it was probably one of the most frightening slash amazing experiences of my life. Getting up at about 4 o'clock in the morning, taking the van out to the site where the balloon was still being inflated by these massive flames. And about 20 of us are taken into this basket, and it literally was a wicker woven basket that we were standing in. And then you don't even feel or realize when this vehicle leaves the ground. It is so soft and so slow and so quiet. There's no sound to it, really. And then there we are, just hovering above the earth. The reason I share this story now is the earth that we were looking down upon on this specific ride was over the region of Cappadocia in central Turkey. About 4 years ago, when we led a pilgrimage of 90 people between my church of St. Nicholas and our neighboring church in Pasadena of St. Anthony's to Constantinople, to the Holy Land. And then inside of that trip, we felt it was going to be a wonderful blessing and perhaps even a once-in-a-lifetime experience to actually stand on this soil and to be able to hover above this Diocese of St. Basil the Great, this region that was, even in its time, though was a prestigious see or diocese, it was still literally in the middle of nowhere. It was a very rocky region. It's an isolated space. It was difficult to get to then. It's difficult to get to now. But there is perhaps very few more important or influential areas or spaces or little pieces of earth than Cappadocia. As I said, right in central Turkey, in the beauty of Asia Minor at the time. Because it represents for us in this day, as it did, this time where prolific families of hierarchs came from this space and gave to us things that we, I won't say take for granted, because I really don't feel we do, but we receive as understood. We'll put it that way. Because it was in this region, in this isolated space, where the church began to really articulate and formulate the understandings we have of the Holy Trinity. We can't take that for granted at all. Because even in the church's infancy, as she began to develop through 2.5 centuries, the church had an understanding of our witnessing a triune God, but did not have yet the benefit of a fully fleshed out and understood and articulated theology. In other words, we knew what we believed, but it wasn't quite worked out yet in terms of the details. Because this is a time where pagan thought and pagan religion was still accusing the Christians of doing no differently than they did. You witness 3 different gods. We have more than 3, but nevertheless, you worship and pray to a Father, to a Son, and a Holy Spirit. They scoffed at it. It was nonsense to them. Nevertheless, this idea of the triune God, one Godhead, but 3 individual persons which make up one God. Again, we can almost take this for granted, but it's a mystery that's still hard to comprehend. How does 1 + 1 + 1 = 1? But that's our belief. That's our theology. And it was in this rocky terrain of the Cappadocian fathers who articulated this for us. And I have to say, almost first among all of them was St. Basil the Great. At the end of this month, as we begin, Happy New Year, by the way, a new month and a new year, we'll celebrate the 3 doctors of the church, St. Basil the Great, St. Gregory the Theologian, and St. John Chrysostom. And it was in the wisdom of the church, because all three of these men have such a great influence, a profound theological influence on the church, that a debate began to rage very early on, who of the three is the greatest of them. I played a trick on the children of our school some years ago. I said, at a Friday afternoon Vespers, did you see the fight that broke out at recess? There were kids that were shocked. There was no fight. Like, yeah, it was pretty brutal, because there were people that were starting to actually yell at each other, and violence was beginning to erupt, whether Mrs. Contos or Mrs. Mormanis or Mrs. Schiani was the best teacher here at St. Nicholas School. And the kids were like, we didn't see this. Where were we when this was happening? I said, it was horrible, actually, because everyone believes in their teacher so much that they thought that the other teachers were not nearly as strong. And it really began to get out of hand. Of course, they recognized pretty quickly that this was untrue. But it's almost believable on a schoolyard. But can we believe that this similar kind of childish debate raged within the church herself? Grown people, clergy, hierarchs, the faithful, articulate people were getting dragged into this spat as to who is the greatest of the theologians. Again, I just launched into this because, as I mentioned, St. Basil the Great, perhaps of the three, in terms of Trinitarian thought, this was his stronghold. This is what he so fiercely defended at the First Council in Nicaea. His war that was raged against Arianism, which was a belief that completely slashed into the divinity of Christ, was the thought that St. Basil could not comprehend or begin to accept or allow the faithful to be able to receive. So we have in him, as well as the other doctors of the church, the theology that we have on this day. The thing that I want to remind us about as well, as in terms of St. Basil, is not so much his articulated theology, which gives us as Christians the details and the understanding that God has revealed himself in the coming days of theophany as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But theology doesn't do anything without kindness. If there's anything that Jesus Christ preached, it was that we would be known to one another and by one another only through love. And it is through his pastoral guidance, and it is through his creative witness of ministering to the poor and ministering to those in need under his omophorion, or under his guidance and his responsibility. He was a kind hierarch. Yes, he articulated the faith of the church, but to him it was no more important than giving comfort to those who needed it, giving the ability to receive an education, the ability to have one's body cared for, the ability to be able to have something to eat and something to nourish yourself. He knew very well that without being able to live a life, there's no way that we could glorify God. He brought it all together. It is such a beautiful gift from God that we are able to come together on this day and celebrate three very important aspects of our Christian life. Yes, it's the Feast of St. Basil, and to all of you who celebrate, all the Williams, the Vasilias, the Vasilioses, all of you who celebrate this feast, it is such a gift to bear the name of this marvelous saint. It's also 8 days from the birth of Christ, and we celebrate the circumcision of our Lord. We celebrate the fact that he who was born as the second person of the Trinity is also part of the Abrahamic covenant that links the children of Israel to God their Father. And we, by extension, receive this gift of being brought into the fold and being the children of God, because our God himself witnessed to and participated in the law fully, so that we wouldn't have to be subject to it. We could be blessed with a new law, which is him himself. And then, of course, the calendar flipped. This is the first day of the year 2017. We all gather together with hope of anticipation of a new year, looking back on the last 365 days and taking an inventory, each and every one of us, hopefully, primarily in a spiritual sense. Where were our strengths in this last year? How did we grow closer to God? Where did we fall short? And how can we do better? How can we look at the rocky terrain of our souls, as is the landscape of a place like Cappadocia, and find the beauty? Where can we see the strength? Where can we see the life? Where do we see the light in that which we participated in the past? But to be able to look forward, to apply those blessings, to apply the lessons, to apply the weaknesses and the strengths, and to be able to transform them as this calendar will also continue. We glorify God, not simply in the past, but in our present day and in the future. Today is an important day for three distinctively different reasons, but they all come together under the umbrella of witnessing and worshiping God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who grants us life, who grants us the ability to receive a new year, and who gives us His Son, circumcised in the flesh, so that we are no longer beholden to the law, but actually participants in what God has given us to witness and glorify Him. Amen.